This is My Better Half on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Vanessa Finney. My guest today talks about her lifelong pursuit of art and how it's helped her process the harder parts of life, including the death of loved ones. Julie Anderson Bailey makes art in her studio on the edge of the North Umpqua River in Roseburg. Her artist statement reads, in part, "My art explores the tension and dance of life at the cellular level. My work is filled with biology rising themes emerging in circles from conception to death and beyond." Julie, have you always been an artist?
Yes. I think it's safe to say, even as a very little girl, I was an artist. In fact, I have some artwork in my studio that I did in kindergarten. A full body, you know, we lay on the floor and one kid draws around you and then you color in yourself and your clothes. And I loved that and I still have it. During COVID, I did a series of drawings in my sketchbook, which I liked so much. I took them out and I dipped them in wax and then I framed them all together. And they were just doodles. Just, I would doodle every day at my kitchen table, I think as a way to help me manage my anxiety about COVID, honestly. And I was cleaning out my studio after I got them all framed up and I was going to enter them into a show about COVID. And I found this little book of poetry I made in third grade, and I had decorated the cover of it, and that design looked very similar to these designs that I had made, you know, in 2020. So I was like, wow, I have been doing the same doodles since I was little, and now I just had a little more sophisticated markers and, you know, drawing tools and things, but it was kind of the same marks, the same designs, the same bright colors. So that's kind of fun to see.
Isn't that fun when we go back and we see, wow, the seed of our grown-up pursuits was actually right there all along, the thing that drew us in. I want to talk to you about art as you've used it, especially to deal with the hard things that everyone has to go through. You know, this podcast tries to focus on how people can thrive or do thrive in the second half of life, but I definitely don't sugarcoat the very real challenges that are particular to this time, to your time. You're 59, correct? Mm-hmm. So yes. You've experienced certain losses and grief in the past decade or so that are common to these middle years. When you were divorced, I think that sort of kicked off a certain phase, it seems like.
Definitely a hard time. Divorce is always kind of hard to talk about because, you know, there's this other person involved. But yeah, I was married for 20 years to my kid's dad, who's a wonderful person. And we still are in contact. And we just had a grandchild together that we're, you know, both thrilled about. But, you know, things happen very hard. We had a lot of great years of our marriage. We had a great time raising kids. So it was really hard when we divorced for both of us, for all of us, for the family. And you do, I think, go through a grieving process with that. You know, you're losing a friend, you're losing a partner, you're losing your life as you know it. You've got to start all over. I became a single mom. He was a single dad. I was started a new career right about then. I was we were both living in Eugene, and I got a job at HP up in Corvallis. And I was driving back and forth every day from Eugene to Corvallis, which was about an hour, just commute time. So lots of changes. It was very hard. And then there were also things that were interesting and exciting. I was starting this new career, which I loved. I was meeting a lot of incredible people, very talented people. The work I was doing was highly creative. It was great. Really loved it. So all that was happening after I got divorced. So it was, you know, both things. It was really hard, but it was also really exciting. So, and then I met my partner, Ken, about a year after my divorce. He had worked at HP, and we were got very involved in the Vine app. I'm not sure if you remember the Vine app, V-I-N-E. It was really a wonderful community for us. We were both drama kids. You know, he was a singer-songwriter, had a degree in theater. And basically, we would act out skits and songs and do art all through this little app with people all over the world. So it was a very collaborative way to be creative. And we just built this wonderful community. We would do skits with people, you know, from Canada, New Zealand, the East Coast. It was just really, really fun, highly creative. That was another wonderful way to, you know, be creative. And then he ended up dying of cancer, which was another super hard thing. And one way I dealt with the grief of that was our Vine community. Of course, you know, they were with us during our whole cancer journey, very supportive. And after, well, I guess it was it before his funeral. Yeah, we played this at his funeral. They organized, Ken had written this beautiful song that was kind of about the Vine community. And he had been featured in a movie about the Vine community. And so everybody was invited to submit a Vine, which were 6-second videos on a theme, which was, he had written the song, I'll Give You a Flower. That was morning coffee. I want to share my morning coffee with you and I'll give you a flower. And so people could make a 6-second video on that theme, you know, giving you a flower and drinking coffee together. And so, I don't know, a couple hundred people made these vines and somebody edited it into this just beautiful video of all of us together with 6 seconds at a time sharing. And then we played it at his funeral and it's up on YouTube. And I mean, just such a beautiful way of, you know, getting through grief together through using an app, using technology, which connected us. But then also, you know, just the creative stuff people came up with was just amazing.
So you met Brian, who you called the love of your new life. You got married when you were about 52?
Yes, I found him on an online dating site. Yes. I was the first date he had been on in 30 years. And I feel like he got lucky and I got lucky. And we came up with this this phrase, love of my new life, because we realized somehow saying you're the love of my life would kind of negate all the other loves of our lives. We've lived long, beautiful, rich lives. We had wonderful loves, right? And so we love this idea that you're the love of my new life right now, right here. And we don't have to quantify and somehow validate that one love is better than another. It's just where we are right now. And we're just so being in love and he's amazing and so supportive of me and my art.
A reminder that you're listening to My Better Half on the Jefferson Exchange. My guest is Julie Anderson Bailey, a 59-year-old artist based in Roseburg. What was going on in your personal life with your parents and your kids?
That's a great question. I was, when I met Brian, I was still working at HP full time. We knew something was up with my mom's memory, took her to the doctor and he's like, yeah, this is Alzheimer's. They did an MRI of her brain. They could see. So we knew that this was coming up, you know, she was able to stay at home for a while with help, but we knew that she was going to need memory care and we needed to figure all that out as a family. My kids were going through some tough things. My middle daughter moved to Chicago to be with her fiance, who's now her husband. It was just, there was just a lot happening. And Brian was in Roseburg. My job was in Corvallis, which is, you know, a couple hours away. There's a lot of back and forth. And so I was just, the stress was just really rising for me. And Brian said, you know, you don't have to keep working if you don't want to. We sell your house in Eugene. Don't have a mortgage. Just live here. Work from home. Right. So we can figure all this out. And then that really allowed me to go, okay, now if I'm not worrying about money, now, you know, what do I get to do that just really, really lights me up? And it was, I'm going to do art.
So in the midst of this, how did being an artist, especially with the installation, you had in particular a series called Biology Rising. So your mother ended up passing away and this practice of art helped you through that. Describe that.
Yeah. So Biology Rising, I had been working on for a few years. And basically, I was printing on the gel pad on tissue paper on old sewing patterns. And then I was attaching that to wire circles that I made. And then I would dip those circles in beeswax and I would then hang them all up in a window. And so I started out, I think I made 50 or 60 of them and hung them in a window and the light was beautiful. And then my biologist friends were saying, these look like Volvox. They look like freshwater algae. And so I started Googling that and figuring out what that meant and realized that the Volvox create their mother cells and they have daughter colonies. And those daughter colonies spin around and push that mother cell up to the light, up to the top of the river to get sunlight to photosynthesize. And they get up to the top and then they burst out of their mother cell and then they fall back down to the bottom and then they start again. And I love the analogy of that. I love that they had to work together, that the mother was there, they were daughters, and then the mother dissipates and then they become the mother cell, right? That circle of life. And so when my mom died, I had already made, you know, a few of these smaller installations, but I had this idea of making a great big one. I had a show at the Eugene Public Library and they have beautiful windows. I was like, I want to make a huge installation of these for your windows. And they said, okay. And I was supposed to do it 6 months later, but it was literally the day, the morning after my mom died, I walked into my house and the phone rang and it was the library saying, the person who was going to do it this month in 3 months can't do it. Can we move you up? Can you do it in April? And I remember just thinking, I should say no because I just lost my mom, but I didn't want to tell the library lady that, you know, right at that time. But there was something in me that was like, no, I think this will be good for you. And I said, yes, I'll do it. And so I knew I had to make about 1,000 of these circles, super time consuming, and all by hand. But I thought, no, this will give me a reason to get up every morning and it'll give my brain something to do. And they're easy enough for me that I kind of get into a flow state, and I kind of know what I'm doing, but with so much repetition, it's still creative. Each one is original. I'm still making each one by hand, but it just allowed me to get up every morning. I had, you know, speaking of project management, I had scoped out how many do I need to make a week? How many do I need to make each day? And it just gave me goals, and it also let my brain relax. But it also helped me grieve because I had enough brain power to think about things, you know, to think about my mom, to think about all the different things. When a parent dies, it's sad. And it also, it brings up a lot of things, right? You're thinking of all these childhood things and all these times you got mad at your mom. And then you feel guilty because you love your mom, but then you were frustrated with something or you disagree. And, you know, I just needed to go through all that. I needed to work through it all. And so sitting there, day after day after day, it gave me time to just work through that acute stage of grief.
Yeah, I think it's so interesting that part of you, your project management side, sort of shepherded your artist self through this time of grief. So you were able to do that, to give that to yourself. And then you had that busy handwork where you could, like you said, let your mind be free to roam. I'm wondering if you also find therapeutic effect by just viewing other people's art.
Oh, absolutely. I'm a big fan of museums, of galleries, art centers, public art. It's just like water. Like, I just feel like I need it. I mean, if you go to an art gallery with me, I'm just, especially to a museum, some of these incredible, you know, like MoMA and these great big, you know, installations that you walk through, and I'm just like, I love it. It really fills me up. But even just looking at galleries, looking at people's work, it just helps you feel connected to something. Even just on Instagram, honestly, you know, just really beautifully made art. Some of the videos on Instagram where people are showing how they're making their art, it just helps you feel really connected to that humanness. That it seems strange that looking at a little picture on a phone can have so much effect on you, but it really does, because there's a little something in that person who made it, you know, reflected in it. And you connect with that, you resonate with that. And we all do. I mean, they were doing cave paintings, right? Like, it's how we tell our stories. It's how we figure things out. It's how we, you know, express joy, grief, sadness, happiness, all of it through art for me.
Right, which makes us feel a little bit less alone in our grief or our difficulties. Well, thank you for talking with me. And I want to let our listeners know that when we post the story, we'll also include a link to a video watching you make Biology Rising.
Thank you so much, Vanessa. It's wonderful to talk to you.
You've been listening to My Better Half on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Vanessa Finney. You can hear this episode and see my video of her making art at jeffexchange.org. To see more of Julie's work, visit her website, julieandersonbailey.com, or her profile on Blue Sky with the handle Julie Art.